Radioland on this frosty Thursday here in Marion, December 23rd, Christmas Eve Eve. Adam Lepp here substituting for Glenn Coble. Glenn and his family and his pet are on the way to, I believe, North Carolina. How about that? So I'm here in the studio sitting in the chair and getting ready to inject my dulcet tones onto the airwaves in Marion, Ohio, and immediate environs. Of course, you can also listen online with your smartphone, your not-so-smartphone, your computer, tablet, etc., with our TuneIn app. Just download the TuneIn app if you've not already done that, and then you can search for WWGH Radio and listen whenever you wish, anywhere in the universe with internet access, because that's how we roll at this radio station. I'll be with you until 1 p.m. today. A little bit different content each hour. This hour, we have open phone lines, which means that you can call about the topic of your choice. And if it's a topic where you and I may not agree, of course, that would refer to anything related to the coronavirus. You might agree with me, you might not. We can debate, because that's actually part of the fun. If you do agree, well, we can kind of pat each other on the back and discuss the topic in general, because that's always a possibility. One thing about talk radio is that if we do have good dialogue, whether or not it's something where there is complete agreement or there's partial agreement, it makes for good listening. And as I say, whenever you listen to a show at this radio station, you tend to come away with more and better brain cells than you did before you listened. I want to thank Mike McGinnis, who is a new member of our broadcasting team. He's also a TV star. See, we only pick the best people to be on the air with us. Watching my live video, and you could also listen to this show, and by watching me there on the air in our very festively decorated radio studio. If you're not already a Facebook friend of mine, feel free to request that friendship, because I'm a pretty friendly guy. Adam Lepp in Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy. Now Mike is watching the video and asking if Glenn has had a nip, so to speak, this morning. I certainly hope not, Mike, because he's driving to North Carolina with his spouse and his pup. So I'm sure if he's drinking anything, it's probably coffee, which I also drink pretty much every morning. And that's why, because we can't really stretch the microphone cable all the way to North Carolina, that's why I am sitting in for him today. So how about that? Between 10, 15, and 12, we have the program, which has actually two names. The official name is On the Air, but I call the show Scott and or Glenn at 10, because that's kind of when the show starts. And you might hear Scott, you might hear Glenn, or you might hear both, but today, as a special holiday extravaganza, you get the pleasure or displeasure of hearing me. And of course, I would be Adam. And then between 12:15 and 1, we have Swap Shop, where if you want to swap an item, you want to purchase something, you want to sell something, maybe something that's been gathering dust in your garage or basement or bedroom, that's fine. You can call and we will take your classified advertisement over the air. Or if you're looking to buy something, that's fine too. Open phone lines for this first hour. Again, you can talk about any topic you wish. It can be something less controversial, maybe about Marion history, maybe about the Huber Historic Home that Bob and I discussed when I was on the air Monday morning, substituting for Scott Spears. You can ask me a trivia question about a TV show or music from between 73 and 87, where I claim to be a walking encyclopedia, and see if you can stump me. So far, no one has successfully done that, but that's okay. I enjoy a challenge to my brain cells, so feel free to try to challenge me, and we shall see what we can do. We can talk about NFL season, college football, or the upcoming baseball season, or the weather. Or sometimes in Ohio, we have our four-season climate, but sometimes you get all four seasons in the same week. We're looking at temperatures pushing 60 in some parts of central Ohio for Christmas Day, and then it'll cool down, but not quite like it was doing a few weeks back, where it seemed like it was 60 in the morning and 30 by evening. So not quite to that extreme. A rather seasonable day today. It'll get up to about 40 after a frosty and cold start, but not bad at all. And now that the first day of winter has come and gone, we're going to see our daylight amount get higher and higher. So instead of it getting dark at 5:30, it'll slowly get dark at a later hour, giving us something to look forward to. And when we get to approximately March 21st, it'll be the equinox and about a 12-hour amount of sunshine during that time as we enter the spring. So it gives us something to look forward to, and that's why I kind of like the four-season climate here in Ohio. Certainly some areas, you know, it's summer or even winter all the time, but with Ohio, you get a lot of variety, and that, I think, adds to the enjoyment. Adam Lepp here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, substituting for Mr. Glenn Coble, who normally does this program during this time. If you want to talk to me about the topic of your choice, again, it can be a controversial topic, coronavirus certainly being the big one, but there is much more, you know, politics, Democrat versus Republican, and, you know, I'm an independent, so I always have something to say about both parties, which may be good or it might be bad. Or we can talk about, again, NFL or college football, upcoming baseball season, sports at different levels, the weather, local Marion history. And again, with Bob Goyer as my special guest during the Monday program, we had a lot of very positive feedback. I had many calls, and it's just fascinating how the history that is so important and so much a part of Marion and the surrounding area plays a role even today in everything that we do. And I thank Bob again for being on with me, and certainly we will have him on in the future. Next hour, a gentleman who's been on with me many times, in fact, he's even been on with Scott, and that certainly would be an interesting topic. Mr. Lucas Wall will be joining me via telephone, because he is currently hanging his hat in Washington, D.C., visiting his mother. And he is a gentleman who, let's say, feels like I do with respect to the mask situation. He attempted to board a plane several months ago and was denied access because he would not wear a mask, and also agrees with me that, in addition to masks being ineffective, if not dangerous, there are blatant ADA violation. He has brought suit against multiple airlines and multiple government entities and people. And he'll discuss that, discuss the progress of his case. And we talk to him regularly, and every time we do, we certainly get updates and find out more about the transportation industry and what I definitely feel is tremendous interference in their ability to conduct viable business by the current administration. And so that will be something you will want to listen to again, whether or not you agree with our perspective. That is certainly an interesting part of radio and talking, is whether you agree or disagree, it is always something which stimulates the mind. And the mind, like any other body part, if you don't exercise it, it will lose effectiveness. About 27 minutes after the hour of 10 on this Thursday morning, Christmas Eve at WWGH, Adam Lepp substituting for Glenn Coble. Again, my special guest Lucas Wall coming up in about 45 minutes, so you certainly want to get ready for that. Let you know if you ever miss a program on this radio station. That's okay. We won't send you a fine or do anything bad. No problem whatsoever. We understand you can't possibly spend 24 hours a day listening to WWGH. Even I don't spend that much time listening, but I do listen a lot. You go to our website, and our website is curated, hosted, and produced, and all that good stuff by myself. And the web address is WWGH1071.com. And you can click on the button to listen online. You can learn about myself and Scott and all of our esteemed hosts. And you can listen to or download or share hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of programs that we broadcast since early 2016. I can assure you with that website, you will never possibly get bored. Speaking about dogs, Glenn again is traveling to North Carolina with the missus and his dog to visit family and celebrate ho-ho-ho season. Christmaquanzica, whatever you want to call it, or Festivus, like they call it on Seinfeld, whichever you substitute, whichever term that you use, we wish you a very happy one. So I'm again sitting in the DJ and announcer chair because of that. But speaking of dogs, scientists have been trying to figure out when and how dogs became man's best friend for many years. Certainly people that I know who have dogs or even cats contend, and very rightly so, that their pet is a better friend than a lot of humans, and I would certainly agree with that. Recent studies suggest that wolves, who are now considered to be the same species as a dog, actually did it on their own by becoming man's best friend. Becoming friendly with early humans who gave wolves access to their food made it easier for them to survive. Imagine that, sharing your dinner table with a wolf. That would be maybe a little bit risky, but certainly would be intriguing, to say the least. Now, this began the centuries-long friendship that humans share with their pets today. But the relationship is not without conflict. More than 4.5 million Americans are bitten by dogs every year, and a little more than 800,000 of those bites are treated by medical professionals. Now, any dog can bite, and as you know, even a little Chihuahua, they can get a little edgy, whereas a large dog like a Great Dane or even a muscular dog like a Pit Bull isn't necessarily as intimidating as it might look. Anything with teeth can bite. That's pretty much what they say. Data collected by Animals 24/7, which logs serious attacks by dog breed from September 82 to December 2018, looked at what trends emerged in the most serious dog attacks. Only pure dog breeds with 10 or more attacks doing bodily harm were ranked, and any ties were broken by the number of deaths. Now, dogs are often misidentified by sight, as many dogs look about the same without making a thorough examination. In addition, snakes are kind of like that, and sometimes people confuse a poisonous snake for a non-poisonous or vice versa. And I certainly don't claim to be the expert on breed identification. Anyway, finding exact numbers of attacks by breed can be tricky, again, because you can't always tell exactly what breed a dog is or if it is a pure breed. The numbers are often used to label certain breeds as dangerous or vicious. Some cities and states have passed laws banning ownership of specific breeds, and pit bulls being one of the big ones, or a wolf-dog hybrid, another one, because of these perceptions. Now, most animal welfare groups oppose such legislation. Again, many people will say you're more likely to get bitten by a little snippy Chihuahua than by a big muscular pit bull or Great Dane. It just depends how they're trained and what the atmosphere is, and also a bit if they're hungry or not. But, dog, you can't always judge a book by a cover. And I definitely agree with that. Understanding of dogs obviously increases, just like understanding of many things in our world. More people are recognizing that a dog's upbringing and training, not its breed, hold more influence over how a dog reacts when the dog has stress, fear, or anxiety. Just interesting tidbit for you. Just like with people or any other members of the animal community, you can't really judge a book by its cover. One thing you can judge, though, is a radio station, the content. And certainly the content that we have here at WWGH Radio is consistently outstanding. Something else I want to share with you is that we have a private email server. And unlike Hillary, we read every single message, we don't delete them, and in most cases we reply and thank people for their correspondence. If you want to email me, the address is adam@wwgh1071.com, and if you want to email Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, in fact the same person that many celebrities that he interviews emails, it's scott@wwgh1071.com. We'd love to hear from you. Adam here, live in the studio, almost 25 minutes before 11, substituting for Glenn Coble, who normally sits in this chair during this program and time slot. We would love to hear from you, 740-383-9944. Those are the digits. Speaking about animals, always fun to have animal kingdom stories. Let's go to the state of Maryland. Two zebras running loose since escaping a Maryland farm about 4 months ago have been caught. Prince George's County Animal Services and the U.S. Department of Agriculture were not involved in the capture, but were told that the animals returned to their herd. In late August, two zebras fled from an Upper Marlboro farm, where officials have said about 40 zebras live. Residents in the region shared sightings of the free-roaming pair on social media, and even Washington's Eleanor Holmes Norton chimed in on the escape. The duo was originally a trio, but one got caught in an illegal snare trap on a neighboring property and soon passed away after the breakout. The county filed animal cruelty charges against owner Jerry Holly in October after another zebra was found dead inside the farm's enclosure. So whatever kind of animals you have as pets or on your farm or wherever, please take care of them. These stories are rather unfortunate, but at least we hope they will be a learning experience for people to take better care of their pets and farm animals. Adam here on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, where we broadcast live over the internet on our website at WWGH1071.com. And of course, again, you can listen online on your computer or smartphone or other electronic fancy device. If you like the old-fashioned way, which I think is the best way, anywhere within about 15 miles of downtown Marion, we are at 107.1 on your FM dial. One thing I like to do if I'm not in the immediate area is what's called DXing, seeing how far I can get the station. I've gotten it as far south as Hills Miller Road, just north of Delaware, but normally, driving up from Delaware, it comes in about 2 miles south of the Marion-Delaware County line. It's kind of tricky getting it in Bucyrus or Upper Sandusky, but on a good day, we do have a pretty good signal there. And as I told Scott several days ago, I was getting the station right around Iberia, near the Mount Gilead and Marion County line toward Mansfield and past Caledonia. So we have a decent signal at many times, depending upon the ionosphere, the sunspots, and all that good stuff. But 10 to 15 miles radius from downtown Marion, that's pretty much what we can offer. And that's not bad whatsoever. Let's go to Colorado. For at least 2 days, and maybe more, residents of a suburban Denver neighborhood worried about the fate of a black cat called Panther, who was perched atop a 36-foot utility pole. You know, cats, they're adventurous. They like to climb and discover and sometimes be a nuisance in a friendly way. and they also have nine lives, as they say. They can often survive unscathed when they get into these tricky situations. So anyway, this black cat named Panther was perched atop a 36-foot utility pole in the Denver area. Panther stayed put, despite efforts by his co-owner, Alexis Soberanis, and others to try to get him down. Neither pleading nor the enticement of food did the trick. You know, the cat was pretty steadfast in his desire to stay on that utility pole, and even a little bribe with catnip or food didn't do the trick. Now, the cat went missing earlier in the month and was spotted atop the pole a few days later. Aurora resident Jessica Meadows said, "Everybody has been like, put food down and it'll come down eventually. You know, if I was perched atop a utility pole and I was hungry and they offered me food, that would be a pretty good way for me to get down from the pole, whether I was a human like I am now or if I were a cat." Anyway, Aurora did receive its first snow of the season, but the cat panther did not budge and stayed atop the utility pole. Neighbors called animal control and the power company for help. "Everyone says they can't do anything," said the resident. The resident, Jessica Meadows. Standard practice. You know, what do they do when a cat climbs up a utility pole? Because this does happen. According to another utility, the standard routine is to give cats time to make their way back and down on their own. You know, cats are resourceful, they're smart and clever, and they don't mind taking a risk or two. News of this incident, Panther being perched atop a utility pole, reached Aurora Council member Curtis Gardner, and city officials dispatched a ladder truck. After getting the truck into place, firefighters rescued the cat. The cat panther seemed eager to step into a pet carrier. Kimberly Medina, another owner of the pet, Panther the cat, said he had always been allowed outside. But she said, "Never again. Panther will now be an indoor cat." So, you know, glad that the cat was rescued, and that happens. Cats, like humans and other members of the animal kingdom, can certainly be adventurous. I guess that's part of the fun of living in this great world that we are in. 41 minutes after the hour of 10 here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, Adam Lepp substituting for Glenn Coble as he and his pet and his wife take a little trip to North Carolina. He'll be back with you next week. I believe it would be Wednesday when he's on with Scott, between approximately 10:15 a.m. and 12, after you folks have finished unwrapping all of your Christmas presents. Hopefully Santa will be very good to you. We are taking your telephone calls. You can call about the topic of your choice. Controversial topics about the weather, about Marian history, sports, etc. We are open to suggestions, and anything that you wish to speak about is good enough with me. And if you don't agree with me on something, that's fine too, because if everybody agreed, the world would be an awfully boring place. You can also watch me live on Facebook video. If you're a Facebook friend of mine or you'd like to become one, just look at where it says Adam Lepp is live now. Click on the listen button and watch button. I guess it would be the watch button. And you can watch me sitting here in our festively decorated studio behind the microphone talking, because that's how we roll here at the Talking Place. On Sunday, we have excellent programming for you between 11:15 a.m. and noon. We have Pastor Craig with a program called Study His Word. And nice thing about Pastor Craig is that he is a regular caller to our programs. In fact, he spoke with Scott earlier this morning. Always a gentleman with good perspectives, and you can learn a lot by him talking about the topics from his program and almost anything else. And we do encourage you to listen, between 11:15 a.m. and 12, and following that, at 12 o'clock features, between approximately 12:15 and 1, Pastor Steve Whitaker broadcasts his church service from Community Christian Fellowship, the church which he's of, in nearby Prospect, Ohio. So excellent programming for you Sunday, and pretty much excellent programming every day. We talk a lot about presidents here at the station, and you know, Marion, the home of Warren G. Harding. We have our official presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, who's on with Glenn every Wednesday, like he was yesterday. And people often ask, you know, who are the worst presidents? Some people think that Donald Trump was our worst president. Some people think Joe Biden may end up being our worst president. So let's do a little countdown and see. And if you want to chime in about this topic or whatever might be on your mind, I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. So among all the United States presidents, let's start at number 25. And according to the experts, and again, whether or not you think these people are experts or right, that's also a topic of controversy, that would be Ulysses S. Grant. According to the Reader's Digest, Ulysses S. Grant had a need for speed and a slight disregard for the rules. For example, when he was president, he was pulled over twice within 24 hours for speeding on his horse. When he was president, the horse was the main method of transportation, and Ulysses S. Grant, even though he was president, was given a speeding ticket twice. In fact, the second time, he got arrested. The officer said, "Please step out of the buggy, Mr. President. You are under arrest." That would certainly be kind of amusing, wouldn't it, to be president, riding your horse, and get pulled over, and even get arrested. The president, voted by the experts, who was the 24th worst, is George H.W. Bush. So he's right there, kind of in the middle. At age 18, George H.W. Bush joined the armed forces as the youngest pilot in the Navy. Now, despite his military success, experts feel that his efforts to strengthen the economy fell short, and his lack of vision, which is ranked 28th, lost him the next election. And I think both Bushes, people have their opinions about, they were known as good men, relatively moderate compared to some of the recent presidents, but they certainly had some shortcomings, and again, they had good points also, but we can pretty much say that about any president. Number 23 on the list of worst presidents, according to the experts, is Andrew Jackson, another one we hear a lot about in the controversy category. Jackson was your typical tough guy and loved a good old-fashioned duel. In one scuffle, he killed a man for talking bad things about his wife, Rachel, and in a bar fight with a senator, he took a bullet to the arm. He ranks low on the moral authority category, which is number 32. He also bought slaves to build his mansion, which is probably why he ranks 39th in the pursued equal justice for all category. So another rather divisive president, Mr. Jackson. Number 22 on the list of the worst presidents, the experts, is William Howard Taft, who has connections to the great state of Ohio. He succeeded one of our best presidents, and someone whom I believe is probably the top three, Theodore Roosevelt, who was voted the fourth best. So he had some pretty big shoes to fill, to put it mildly. His wife wanted to be first lady, and she encouraged him to become the president. Now, after becoming president, he was the Chief Justice of the United States, and he considers that to be his greatest achievement. In fact, he even wrote, "I don't even remember that I ever was president." Okay, well, I would think if you were president, you'd remember having had the job, but perhaps not. Number 21 is Silent Cal, Calvin Coolidge. And he had a talent for actively doing nothing. He started his presidency with a very good economy. So his main goal was the status quo. Now, he finished his term just months before the Great Depression, so quite a turnaround in the economy. He is ranked as 27th in crisis leadership. Now, speaking about pets, he didn't talk a lot. In fact, he was famous for saying, "I do not choose to run for president." They called him Silent Cal. But he loved his two pet raccoons, Reuben and Rebecca. In fact, they were often found running around the White House. So some presidents have had some unusual pets, but Calvin Coolidge had pet raccoons. Number 20 is the president who had two non-consecutive terms. He ran one, then he lost, and then he ran again and won. And that would be Grover Cleveland. Many of his media ranks are due to his unpopular policies during the Panic of 1893, which was an economic depression during his second term. He also enjoyed younger women, a bit like Donald Trump in that regard. According to History.com, he married 21-year-old Frances Folsom in the White House, making her the youngest first lady in history. He had been her legal guardian ever since her father passed away when she was 11. Number 19 of the worst presidents, according to the experts, is someone that I've occasionally compared to Joe Biden, and a recent president known as a very nice guy, and also he's still alive, and he is our longest-lived president, a good man, but I think he fell short on leadership, and during his administration, the economy wasn't doing very well. And that would be Jimmy Carter. Despite reducing the budget deficit and helping create almost 8 million jobs, his attempts to remedy inflation launched the USA into a short recession. He had a tendency to share too much information, including an interview about sex and Christianity published by Playboy. So on the experts' list of qualities that presidents have possessed, under public persuasion, Jimmy Carter ranks number 35. So an interesting study, again, nice guy, one of our most intelligent presidents, and people have said that, and I do agree. He just had a very difficult presidency, and he's still alive. And he's in his 90s, along with his wife, Rosalynn, living in Georgia. So, interesting man who obviously has done better after his presidency. Number 18, and this is our list of the worst presidents, according to the experts, is James A. Garfield. Now, he was only president for 200 days, so didn't really make much of an impression. Several months into his term, a disgruntled lawyer and office seeker shot James Garfield in a Washington railroad station. Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone, tried to build a device to remove the bullet. The device failed. James Garfield died 11 weeks later. So, tragic story there. And just shows the difference in the landscape of the United States and treatment for injuries from that time and until now. Number 17, another interesting study and something that Dr. Ron Feinman and I have talked about, a president who has gained, gained credibility, become more popular as the years have gone on. Also had a bit of a difficult presidency. And that would be Gerald R. Ford. And he preceded President Carter. Now, he's the only president who took over after his predecessor resigned. During the famous Watergate scandal, Richard M. Nixon resigned, and his appointed vice president, Gerald R. Ford, took office. Since he succeeded Spiro Agnew, who was elected, Ford was the only president never elected directly by the people. It was a fairly close election against Carter, but Carter was victorious. Again, Gerald Ford, a football player, his wife, who's done so much in her legacy for the serious drug abuse problem. Again, a good man, bit of a difficult presidency, and I think he gets a bit of a I think he gets a bit of the short end of the stick, and I think his ranking will be increasing as we go through time. Number 16, a very recent president, George W. Bush, considered to be the 16th worst president of all time. He ranks lower than his father. He was responsible for holding the nation together after the September 11th terrorist attacks in 2001. According to the New York Times, George W. Bush was head cheerleader in his senior year of high school. So another president with struggles during his administration, and good and bad, like almost all of these gentlemen. So who's number 15 of the worst presidents? Chester Alan Arthur. He ranks low because he was never actually elected president. Instead, he was thrust into the limelight after President Garfield's assassination. He is most remembered for his fight against New York's corrupt civil system. Number 14 on the list of worst presidents. Here's one that we all have an opinion about. If you're at least, if you're at least 45 years old, 50 years old, and goodness sakes, I am. I hate to say it, but yes, I am. It's Richard M. Nixon, or as Archie Bunker calls him, Richard E. Nixon. He is the only U.S. president ever to have been resigned, considered by the experts to be the 14th worst president. He ranks number 41 in moral authority. During his presidency, burglars broke into the Watergate complex to steal documents and to wiretap phones. The goal was to help with Nixon's re-election campaign. Nixon denied any involvement, but recorded tapes prove that to be a falsehood. Now, he was known as someone very good with foreign policy. In fact, he was number 12. That's pretty good. In international relations. So another smart president, someone everybody remembers if they remember his presidency, and he was his presidency was a large part of my childhood. But let's say not keeping his nose clean, that kind of did him in, which is unfortunate, because I think with his foreign policy and just his excellent speaking, he could have been considered one of the greatest. But that can happen. You gotta keep clean. Number 13 is Benjamin Harrison. He entered office with a huge budgetary surplus. By the end of his term, it had disappeared, giving the nation a one-way ticket to the panic of 1893. He was a big spender. You know, with inflation, $1 billion isn't a lot relative to what the current budget deficit is. But during the Harrison administration in the late 1800s, it was. He was the first president to push a federal budget of $1 billion, which is a lot of money back in the late 1800s. Number 12 on the list of worst U.S. presidents is Rutherford B. Hayes. He won a very close election against Samuel Tilden. He lost the popular vote by 250,000 votes, but the electoral vote was 185 to 184. So if you think that there are electoral vote disputes, which there have been in many recent elections, it really is nothing compared to what happened in the Rutherford B. Hayes election. Hayes promised to protect the rights of black Americans. He gave Southern leaders a long leash to govern themselves, which failed miserably. So another president who might not have accomplished what he wanted to or what he claimed to do. 11 on the list of worst presidents. We go back to the 1830s and up to 1841, was Martin Van Buren. Now, Martin Van Buren was the first U.S. president to actually be born in the United States. 3 months after his election, the prosperous United States economy swirled down the drain into the worst depression it had ever seen. So that's why he's considered very bad on the presidential scale due to his handling of the economy. In terms of economic management, Martin Van Buren ranks number 39. Number 10 on the list of worst U.S. presidents is Zachary Taylor. Now, Zachary Taylor was a hero of the Mexican-American War and the War of 1812. As a lifelong Army man, he had little interest in becoming president and didn't even know he'd been nominated at first, according to The Advocate, a newspaper in Louisiana. So what would you expect from somebody who didn't really know that he was going to be the president of the United States? Number 9 is Herbert Hoover. People had high hopes for President Hoover because of his impressive resume and promises of prosperity. But on October 24th of 1929, less than a year into his presidency, the stock market crashed, pulling the country into the deepest depression in United States history. He ranks last for economic management and became the scapegoat of the Great Depression. To make matters worse, he treated White House staff poorly. According to National Public Radio, he never wanted to see them. So whenever he walked by, they were forced to jump behind bushes and hide in closets. So again, another president that people had high hopes for, but he failed miserably. We're going to get back to this countdown and look at the 8 worst presidents in history during the 12:15 to 1 o'clock hour during Swap Shop. So I'll keep you in suspense until then. We've not heard from Donald Trump. Will he be listed as one of the 8 worst presidents of all time? All I can say is, we shall see. Stay tuned to a listening device near you. My friend and brother in broadcasting, Mr. Lucas Wall, will be joining me at about a quarter after 11 to talk about his lawsuits against airlines and government entities. Stay warm out there. Top of the hour features are coming up. Adam at WWGH1071.com.
You're